You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes in the West Indianapolis Community News, and today is a special episode because with training camp just around the corner, we're going to cover all those storylines coming up soon. But in the meantime, I wanted to have a former player to come on the show and talk to you guys kind of about the start of training camp and his time with the Pacers and his overcoming of a two-way contract. And that player is Alex Poitras. Alex Poitras is on the 2017-18 Pacers team, appeared in 25 games that season, started on a two-way, played pretty well on it, got promoted to a full-time player, and then actually had an integral role in the playoffs that year against the Cavs and LeBron James, despite not playing in a game. And you can hear what that role is in this podcast, so stick around, hear what Alex Poitras has to say about his time with the Pacers in training camp, and enjoy, and we'll see you guys tomorrow to talk about all things Pacers 2020. All right, so you are over in Russia now. You're touring St. Petersburg, enjoying Europe. Tell me how that's been before we dig into some of your time with the Pacers.
Now, Russia's been cool. I've enjoyed the city of St. Petersburg a lot. It's got a lot of great restaurants, got a lot of good cultural, like, museums and stuff like that. And we're playing in the EuroLeague this year, so we're playing just the best team in Europe. So I've been enjoying my time in Europe this year so far.
That's good. It seems like I talked to Joe Young a few weeks ago. He's enjoying China as well. It seems like a lot of guys are enjoying their time over there. But really, this is a Pacers podcast, and you were on one of the more fun Pacers teams the last couple of years, so I want to dig into that. But the Pacers right now are entering training camp at a kind of weird time, right, with COVID going on and stuff like that. But you know, you were on that 27-18 team. As guys are trickling in on the first couple of days of training camp, what was that like for you when you were with the Pacers?
For me, it was like it's when it starts, like now training camp, like when the first days training camp was like when the vets will start to get in there, like during like a month before or 2 months down the summer. A lot of the young guys are in there, like the first year players, 2 year players. But now it's like the camp starts like a week before, and then the vets come in and they start getting acclimated to like the coaches, the system, and getting in shape and getting ready for preseason games.
Did you enjoy camp, or was it more just, you know, necessary work to get ready for the real stuff?
I actually enjoy camp for me because it's like you get to compete, you get to show the coaches what you're about, how good you are, try to compete for spots. I know some of the best usually that's more of a, like the best have been in the league for a while, these are more conditioning, get their legs under them and get ready for the season because it is 82 games, a long season, so they use that month and a half just to get ready for the real games.
I know some teams like the Heat are notorious for, you know, they have the conditioning test that's apparently super challenging and super difficult for guys. You were obviously in the old Pacers regime with McMillan before they changed coaches, but did you feel like his training camp was any more difficult than other teams you were on?
It was definitely, Indiana's training camp was definitely harder than Atlanta's for sure. We had a conditioning test, and we went a couple of days, or 2 days, and whatnot. But then after a while, Coach Nate kind of pulled back because we had a veteran team, and he kind of like understood that like our vets are gonna know that they gotta make sure they stay in shape, make sure they do what they need to do to get ready. So he kind of like let it be on us to get ready and get prepared for the season. But we did have a conditioning test, and I want to say everybody made the time. Even Big Al made his time, so we definitely were in shape.
I'll never forget Al Jefferson that season telling me how jealous he was of Ike Anibogu, of all people. He said that dude could jump out of the gym and he was jealous of his skills. I was like, Al Jefferson, you are all NBA center. You don't have to be jealous of anybody else, man.
Yeah, I think Big Al was just scared of Ike. I mean, just jealous of Ike. His body fat, it could have to be like 2% or something like that.
Al Jefferson was such a guy. I remember him putting a spin move on Joel Embiid that season, too. It was one of my fondest memories of his time with the Pacers. I need to get with him as well.
No, Big Al is definitely one of the better bets I've had.
So you got the first two-way contract ever from the Pacers. The two-ways were instated into the league in 2017, right before that season. And then you got the very first one.
Talk to me about what that was like, because, you know, they weren't really a thing before. You were kind of going in without knowing what it'd be like. And, you know, obviously you ended up getting promoted to a full contract after it. But, you know, you were the first guy to have it. You were traveling between Fort Wayne and Indiana. How was all that?
It was cool because, you know, that year was the first year they started having two-way contracts. So you kind of like, it was like, yeah, they got Ross. Like, yeah, you're on the team, but you're splitting ways. So I'm like, okay. So I didn't feel no different than the younger guys like EK that was getting sit down back and forth all the time. But it was really good because it was kind of like you always have to stay ready. Any day you can get, you literally, I was walking to practice in Fort Wayne. It's like, yeah, you got to drive down to Indy and be ready for the game tomorrow, or you need to practice tomorrow. So it was kind of like you had to be on standby a lot. So it was just, for me as a pro, it just made me stay, make sure I stay ready, stay on top of my stuff, because in a snap of a finger, like, you might have to be ready and be called upon. So it definitely made me just stay ready a little bit more and help my career.
Well, that's kind of what happened, right? You came in right after Christmas and played a bunch of time. I think it was in Detroit, if that's right. That was right before you got the promotion.
Yeah, it was Detroit. I think we played Detroit, Milwaukee. We played a couple games, but it was that December stretch where I came in. I played like 7-8 games straight, and after that, like, I got promoted. So, I mean, that was a good feeling. I felt like I was getting rewarded for all my hard work and what I was doing. They showed that they believed in me a little bit. So
how did it feel after that? You know, I have it up in front of me now, that Detroit game. You played 22 minutes. It was probably one of your best games of the season. How did it feel after that? You know, did they talk to you right after that game about the promotion, or did they just say, keep doing what you're doing?
They tell me keep doing what they're doing. My agent was, like, he was talking to me. He wasn't trying to, like, tell me, like, yeah, like, if you do this, you keep going the way you're going, they'll promote you. He was more of, like, just telling me, like, yo, you're doing great. I'm getting great feedback from them about you. Just keep up the good work and good things are going to happen, like, I promise you. But that Detroit game was good. I know I think maybe Domas or Miles was hurt, one of the two. But I went in and got good minutes. I was starting Tobias, starting Anthony Tolliver, I think. You know, I'm just making it disruptive for them. And I think that was the point where I could start to see that Coach Nate really had, like, trust in me, because he was putting me on defensive assignments and just telling me to play free on offense. And I think that once I got Coach Nate's, like, trust, I think that was, like, probably the ultimate decision. Like, yeah, let's just promote him to the 15-man roster.
One of the reasons I remember that game so fondly, and I didn't even have to look this up, I just remember this, is you guys lost by a lot, but when you were on the court, you guys outscored the Pistons by, like, over 10 points, and you played almost half the game. So without you in the game, the Pacers just really sucked that night. But no, not a...
Yeah, I think I was one of the highlight spots. I think that's why Coach Nate was really like, okay, I see the vision, you know, so...
So then, last question about the two-way. To get the promotion, not only to get the first two-way, but then also to prove that you're better than it over the season, I mean, that had to feel just amazing, right?
Yeah, it felt great. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, like, accomplishment in life, but that was one of them. It just shows, like, all the early morning workouts you do, all the extra works after practice, all that stuff. It just shows that when you get rewarded for your hard work, it's always fulfilling.
So that team was a shock to the league, right? Every year in the NBA, there's one team that is just way better than everyone expects, and that year it was the Pacers. And, you know, most people pegged you guys as, like, a 30-35 win team, and then Victor was better than everybody thought, Domas was better than everybody thought, you know, a lot of guys took a step forward and were shooting way better, and you guys won 48 games. Was that one of the more fun teams you've been on? How was the vibe of that squad?
Oh, it was definitely one of the most fun teams I've been on. Like, we competed the whole season. I think we got the 4 seed and the Cavs got the 5 seed that year. You know, we had good bets. We had Bad. We had Big Al. We had Lance. Even Lance gave us great minutes that year. Vic was amazing that year. Miles and Domas did their job. Corey Joe did good, too. So we had a good team top to bottom, and we were, like, gelling. And, like, we came together as a team. And I even think we had a chance in the playoffs against the Cavs. And, of course, we ran into LeBron. And, I mean, once he gets going, it's hard to stop him. But, I mean, after game one, when we beat them, we thought we had a real good chance of going on to the next round. So that was definitely, out of the 3 teams I played on, probably the most fun, because we were actually doing all this stuff and we were winning games too, which, I mean, when you're winning games, everything's fun for the most part.
Right. You got to play with Trae Young the year after that, but you spent time with Vic that season where he was most improved, where he went from, you know, in Oklahoma City, he was still a good player, but a lot of that season was about Russell Westbrook, and they tried to throw Vic to the wolves as a backup point guard. It was not really a fit for him. And then he really took off in Indiana. What did you see from him as he transitioned from, you know, just a pretty good player to one of the best in the league?
I think when he got to Indiana, like, I think that kind of, like, being from going from OKC to Indiana, it was like a fresh start for him. He was more relaxed. And you can see as the season that went on, his confidence just went through the roof. Like, he had a couple big games early. I think they had, like, a couple game winners. And I think him being in Indiana again, you know, he was IU, him being in Indiana, I think, like, the city embraced him, the crowd embraced him. You know what I mean? The fans embraced him. I think that just helped his confidence. And I always say, like, once you get confidence in this league and confidence in this game, like, sky's the limit. And then he just started playing great, and he ran with it. And once he did that, we just – everybody just followed his lead, and we just went like, we just followed line and followed suit right behind him.
Hey, he carried that into the playoffs. You talked about it earlier, and this was one of the series I wanted to ask about was – yeah, you guys took LeBron to seven games, and you know, you win the first game. Everybody was shocked. You know, most people thought that series would be over before it even started. Was that your only playoff series, and what was that like just to be battling with LeBron and being in the trenches every day with that team?
Yeah, so it was the only playoff series. It was cool because actually I was LeBron scout. So that 2 weeks ago, I got to do whatever I want. I'm shooting step back threes and all types of stuff, but It was good because we had home court advantage, so we were the four seed. Then we played Cleveland game one, and everybody says we stole the game, but I mean we were confident enough that we was gonna win the series. So when we won game one, everybody was shocked except for us. So we just kept on doing it. And then game two, LeBron came in with a different mindset. He knew this team wasn't gonna lose, and then we were back and forth all game. And then the game when they it may have been game six, I think. Game six, he hit the game winner. Five or six, he hit the game winner. And, yeah, of course, he hit the game winner. But nobody talked to them. They had like a – it should have been a goaltending on Vic's layup, I think.
It was.
That nobody called. The refs just didn't call. But then, like, LeBron comes down, hits a game winner on that, and just takes some momentum from us. And then I think they win game seven to Indiana. But, I mean – We gave it all we had that series. You know, with the dogfight, you know, we had a bunch of fighters on our team, so nobody was going to back down from just because they had LeBron on the other team.
So you're a 3-year vet, but I mean, of everything that's happened to you in your NBA career, what is cooler than being scout team LeBron James for a playoff series? I mean, that is awesome.
I don't know, man. That's up there. Maybe starting my first game, Madison Square Garden, but all the other stuff like that, that's up there. Just knowing that, you know what I mean? Doing what I can do to help the team, and you know, scouts are one of the important jobs in the NBA because you got to make sure people are ready for the game. Of course, you want to be out there playing, but if not, then you want to do what you can just to help people and help your teammates get better.
So this is a pretty broad question, but I always like to ask guys this: you know, that year with the Pacers, do you have any fun or interesting stories that have never really been shared before about that season?
Oh, fun or interesting stories? One thing I thought was interesting, maybe, I don't know if it's the story, but when we always hang out with the players and we would sometimes, like, go to dinners or go out or anything, like, Lance, like, does not drink. I was shocked, but, like, he doesn't drink alcohol. And he just has, like, Lance just has that, all the animated stuff, that's just Lance being Lance. Like, he just got this natural high, just natural.
I was going to say, I don't think he needs to drink to be himself, right?
Yeah, I don't think he needs to, but like the way like he acts, he just doesn't. But man, Lance, I love Lance. Lance is the ultimate competitor, the coolest person off the court. Man, he'll do anything for you. Go to battle with you. You know, some people might think his competitiveness a little bit too edgy, but if you're on the team, you love it. If you're playing against him, you hate it because he just gets up on your skin and whatnot. But Lance was one of my favorite teammates too.
What's going through your head when you see him, you know, do a figure eight with the ball between his legs before doing a dribble move or rocking a baby or whatever he's doing?
That's just he does it. I mean, that's how he plays. Like he has to do. I feel like Lance has to do that stuff to be effective for him because he's got to do the extra animated, get people going a little way, and then just do the crafty moves he do. And then, but the thing is, like you can't really be mad because he finishes the play, he makes the right pass, so. And make that 360 layup and then get a stiff. You know what I mean? Get the crowd hyped into it, feed off their energy. So what he does, it works. It doesn't work for everybody, but it works for him.
Is he like that in practice too?
A little bit. Not as bad as the games. In the games, he goes a different level. But in practice, he does a little bit. He's definitely more calm in practice.
All right, Alex. Well, tell everybody how you're liking Russia one more time and how you're working to get back to the NBA, and I'll get you out of here.
All right, cool. Russia's cool. Now, we're playing EuroLeague. We're actually doing really well. I think we're 4-2, so I think we're in fourth and fifth place right now. We got a big game against Fenerbahce tomorrow that we actually like scouted and game planned. But overall, it's cool. Like, the city's great. Food's good. It's got a lot of nice museums, a lot of good cultural artifacts and stuff like that. I got a lot of Americans on my team, like Kevin Pangos and a few other names. So, like, we got people over here where I'm, like, not just here by myself. And, like I said, it's EuroLeague, so we travel to Barcelona, Milan, like all these nice places that we get to travel and you get to see the world. So that's good. You know, but I also want to get back home, get back in the NBA. I do want to give it one more shot before I'm done. You know, I'm still young, 27. So I definitely feel like if I would have never got hurt the last 20 games in Atlanta, I still would be in the NBA. But, you know, things happen, injuries happen, of course. So you just got to take what you got, and I'm just trying to look forward in my career, really.
Well, hopefully things work out for you, man, and I really appreciate the time.
Oh, no, I appreciate you, man.